It's a fabulous July day, and Graham Harper and myself are in London in Covent Garden. I'm saying Graham because basically back before our two fine guests were even being born on this planet, we were doing shows in Dulwich. How are you, Graham?
I'm still in Dulwich. I'm very, very well.
Yeah, mindset. It's like you never get out of there, really. But you're looking good. Here we are in Covent Garden. How's life?
It's very good. I'm not doing a lot. I'm very relaxed and I'm in very good company. So
exactly. Well, one of them, of course, one of our fine folk here is the legendary Victoria Simmons, who is real, not just a Zoom sort of icon. I mean, we've already connected in real life, etc. And also keen Doctor Who fan, Victoria.
Of course. Love Doctor Who. But I love being in Covent Garden with you guys. It's brilliant.
Well, and how did the gig go last night?
No, it's tonight.
It's tonight. So you're psyching yourself up for an open mic night in
Soho. Literally down the road.
Quite literally. It's like almost as though the stars have realigned and done all sorts of things. Kathy, you helped in no small way to actually navigate me down here successfully. Successfully on the basis.
We're really going to go into post-production there. We're going to edit that.
Yeah, indeed. It's probably down to the German hot dog stand I'm looking at. Your thoughts, please, on this Covent Garden base.
Well, yes, I did help navigate. For some reason, you have this obsession with turning left.
Constantly.
But we made it. We somehow managed to stay right. So yeah, I think I'm very excited for today.
Absolutely. Well, it's a kind of midweek drive on location at Covent Garden and possibly wherever Richard Fitzwilliams takes us, because he's going to be joining us as well. Victoria, latest single. How's it coming on, etc.? And how's the musical recordings going?
It's going better than I ever expected. I never thought it would reach the numbers that it has on Spotify ever. So, and we're only, 2 months in, maybe 3 months in, so I'm really pleased with that. And when I get back to France, I will get to be recording the next song.
Super. Graham, questions?
Where parts in France are you going to be?
Near La Rochelle, between La Rochelle and Nantes.
Oh, I've just been not quite to La Rochelle, but I have to remember the name of the place I went to, which I know you're going to know and probably love. Why are you going to France? Is that where you're based?
It's where I'm based at the moment. We'll be moving soon, as always.
Not to Lincoln, England, surely?
Well, you never know. I might come up for a weekend or midweek drive.
Always good. Kathy?
Oh, well, how are you going to prepare for tonight? I mean, I know you're spending time with us, but what's your pre-show routine?
I do work during the day, and for the poor people that live with me, I do try and do it when they're out and practice more or less constantly. But it's something that you have to practice for, because it's a live performance. It's more of a practice as you go, do the smaller ones and practice for the bigger ones. It's
clearly still a long way to go.
It is indeed.
Well, do you play musical instruments?
I play them, but I don't do them on stage.
Ooh, that's hard. That's hard.
The team is actually pretty much complete now, and in a few moments' time, I'm going to have a chance to introduce us to Richard Fitzwilliams. Victoria, you've just encountered Richard the first time. Your thoughts initially?
Oh, well, it's wonderful, but...
Yeah. Wonderful is the way we'd actually... Richard, the first question I need to ask you, and I need to just come across that briefly, is Barbie or Oppenheimer? Which one are you going to see and in which order? Because Kathy's got a specific response for her. So Barbie or Oppenheimer, where are you going to go?
Well, I've already been to the preview of Barbie.
Yes, yes.
And Oppenheimer...
You saw this on social media, of course.
And Oppenheimer comes tomorrow, so it'll be somewhat dramatic.
So Barbieheimer.
I would suggest that pink will be the summer's colour after Barbie. The movie has an amazing visual quality.
I can see this happening. So, I mean, Kathy, that's completely contradicting your recommendation for this.
No, okay, look, I think you're taking it out of context. First of all, if
me,
I...
Me? Take something out of context?
Yeah.
God's sake.
Foolish, right, silly. No, I think if you have the money to spend it, you should it should be two separate occasions. Because I want to do Barbie with brunch, and I just need that to be a day event on its own. Because I got to recover from brunch. I'm not going to go to another film. Then you have Oppenheimer, and that's dinner before, and then Oppenheimer. That's how you end the day. But two separate days. That's my recommendation.
Graham, Oppenheimer, Barbie, or both, or neither?
It's Oppenheimer for me. I'm not desperately keen about the Barbie story. I don't know why. It doesn't.
As a male, surely as a toxic male, we should be sort of taken out from that point of view and sort of just seen as seeing a movie about misandry. Anyway, Graham, Richard.
Well, the interesting thing, I mean, my introduction to Barbie really came when in Paris and in the Musée d'Arts Décoratifs, which is part of the Louvre, they had an exhibition of Barbies, and it was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, my feelings exactly, Graham.
Well, I don't see what's funny. It was very crowded, and indeed I was fascinated by it. So picking up with Margot Robbie, who is excellent, I have to say, and also Greta Gerwig directs and writes, Helen Mirren narrates, and there's also Ken, insofar as he gives the eye to inadequate by Ryan Gosling's performance. Well, I mean, I do have to say the movie, which has had rave reviews, because we need people to go to the cinema, it will have a vast number of fans who I think will absolutely love it. That's really the test.
Okay, there we are. That's a fairly brief, by his standards, review of Barbie. Has that persuaded you, Victoria, or is it a case of, I don't know?
Oh, I'd love to see both of them. I just feel bad that I haven't thought about this as much as Kathy has. But that's really given me food for thought now, literally.
I just think if you're... I think these are films that you want to enjoy with people. You know, you want to talk about it. You want to make it an experience. So especially more with Barbie. I think you can go see Oppenheimer by yourself, but why would you? You know, you want to talk about it afterwards, and you want to enjoy the thing you just watched. And with Barbie, it's like, it's supposed to, I mean, it's fun because it's adult kind of asking existential questions. You know, it's asking itself, like, what is real? What is fake? Am I getting pretty privileged? You know, is Ken being regarded as a secondary character, and why is
that?
Yes,
he is.
No, well, and that's the question.
Totally.
Why is it okay, though? You know, why are we, like, laughing at this? And usually, in the reality of filmmaking, it's typically the female is the side character, and we can laugh at the jokes, and the male is taken a little bit more seriously. And so it's refreshing to see a switch of roles. And I think if you're going into it to have a good time with friends, and especially if it's something you grew up with, because I grew up with Barbies, I think it's supposed to be an enjoyable experience. And I think Oppenheimer is just, it's a separate genre completely.
Well, we found out that Richard didn't have a Barbie doll to play with when he was a child, which probably explains a great deal in terms of why he left South Africa. Graham, were you Action Man or Barbie?
It's really strange you should say that. I'm thinking Action Man and Ken should get together. Maybe there's
Revolution.
A threesome, I'm not sure, but it's really time that
make notes, Richard, this could be the next blockbuster movie.
Action Man and Ken is definitely the way forward.
There we have it. You're listening to the Midweek Drive on location in Covent Garden, and I think I managed to actually get through my faux pas from early in the day, etc. So we'll continue in all sorts of ways whilst the team engage with all manner of joyous activities.
The revival of the quintessential afternoon tea. Extraordinary aspect, which really does need to come back to the fore in all sorts of ways, and especially when there is a good reason for having that, which indeed our next two guests will be talking about. First of all, we have MasterChef winner extraordinaire. It's the wonderful Jane Devonshire. How are you, Jane?
Hi. Oh, well, thank you. Lovely to speak to you this morning.
Excellent. And we've also got the Director of Fundraising, Communications and Engagement for Breast Cancer Now. That's the wonderful Rachel Franklin. How are you, Rachel?
Hi there, I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having us today.
Excellent. Rachel, if we can come to you first, would you like to just explain the rationale behind this? Because, I mean, some of the facts here initially, they really sort of stand out. 55,000 women diagnosed with breast cancer every year in the UK, and you're effectively sort of setting this up as just one way of actually raising funds to hopefully ensure that we can address these issues and get them sorted.
Yes, that's right. Well, we think that afternoon tea is just a brilliant way for people to come together and celebrate with food and tea and sandwiches and cake through an afternoon tea, and raise money and awareness for breast cancer. Because as you've said, Alex, 55 women and men each year will hear that those words that they have a breast cancer diagnosis, and we want to stop that, make sure that we're less women and men are hearing those words. Yeah. I mean, this is a great way to do it, because not only is it wonderful fun to bring together friends and family and have tea and cake and sandwiches, but it also really is a great way to raise awareness of whether it's breast cancer now, or like how to check your breasts, to be aware of your own normal, which is so key in being able to detect breast cancer early.
Now, Jane, I mean, again, looking at the sort of aspect, I mean, afternoon tea can be very grand. People can obviously go to Betty's Tea Room in Yorkshire. They can go to, obviously, various bases in London, etc. But this doesn't have to be a grand scenario. I mean, literally, it can be scones in the sunshine, or scones, picnic in the park, or indeed ice buns on your balcony. So, I mean, that's something, again, I think you're keen to say, that it doesn't need to be a complex afternoon tea.
No, and you described it perfectly. I love the buns on the balcony. I mean, that sounds fabulous. That's it. If you want to go and buy some cakes from the shop and bring them back and just share that with your friends, or if you want to make something much bigger of it, you can. But the whole idea is to just get together and do something. And I think that that's the beauty of afternoon tea. It can be as complicated or as easy as you like, but it's more about sitting with good friends and family, and raising awareness for what is, and hopefully some money for what is, a fabulous cause.
I mean, again, interesting to see that afternoon tea originated back in the 19th century. Anna Maria Russell, of course, the 7th Duchess of Bedford, staved off her hunger pangs by bridging the long gap between lunch and dinner and drinking tea with a light meal between 3 and 4 o'clock. I mean, I'm certainly was unaware of the history of the sort of things. Is this something you've made a specialism in terms of finding out the history of afternoon tea?
Yeah, well, we were keen to kind of know a bit more about where it originated from, and as you say, it goes back to the Victorian times. And I have to say, I think it was very sensible to introduce afternoon tea, but if there was only breakfast and dinner on offer, so I'm all for that. But we also, as we lead up to August and we're encouraging people to take part, you know, like to do some fun facts and figures on afternoon tea. So what's the least favorite sandwich, most favorite sandwich? I think we did one on favourite biscuits to have. So, yeah, it's just a nice way to kind of bring it to life so people, you know, have a think about it. But also some of these things are good talking points, aren't they? Like,
Rachel,
it's like
what's your favourite design for this? What would you be actually getting involved with as far as the afternoon tea is concerned?
So for me, I'll be hosting this year an afternoon tea with my mum in Loughborough. So I don't think a million miles away from where you and your listeners are. And we'll be having certainly tea, egg and cress sandwiches, and also cream cheese sandwiches, and some Victoria sponge. So that's my recommendation for a good afternoon tea.
Well, I mean, again, it certainly looks as though it's a great thing to find out further details. Presumably, you can share with us, where's the best website to go to find out more about breast cancer now, and indeed specifically this afternoon tea?
Yep. So the best place to go to is breastcancernow.org/cuppa, and that will take you straight to the page to learn more about afternoon tea. But as you said, the website in general provides lots of information about breast cancer, or can answer questions that people might have. So breastcancernow.org is a great place for people to go to.
Excellent. Well, again, I can reveal that I'm just about to actually take a sip of mint tea, actually. And for the benefit of the listener, I'm probably not in the studio present, but actually in Covent Garden, no less. But it's been fabulous connecting with your good selves today. Rachel Franklin, of course, and the awesomely talented MasterChef winner, Jane Devonshire. Huge thanks. And happy tea drinking, ladies. And indeed, happy afternoon tea time.
Happy afternoon tea to you. Thank you.
Well, there we are, some of the fascinating world of afternoon tea time. Now, the rest of the midweek drivettes, at least in London, have headed off at this point to see the National Portrait Gallery and indeed the Actors' Church in Covent Garden. So they've left me on my own to coordinate a few things, which is a bit challenging, but we'll work our way through that. That's the important thing. And in fact, I'm delighted to actually welcome a new voice to the Midweek Drive, but certainly a good friend of both Siren Radio and indeed the Midweek Drive On Location and the Midweek Drive Live, of course. That's Mark Q. And Mark actually took up the mantle of interviewing duties to find out a little bit more about viral food trends. You see the kind of food theme that we're putting through together on the show. And he was speaking actually to nutritional expert Ty Ibutai.
First of all, could you tell us about viral food trends and just how big is this phenomenon?
Yes, so with viral food trends, they are, it's really interesting because a lot of people are spending a lot of time on social media and viewing food related content. And Flora recently carried out a research to look at some of the key food viral trends that are happening right now, or what some people are actually following. And actually, what was listed in terms of the top five food trends includes making mug cakes, with 39% having a go, followed by butter-based trends at 32%, and hash browns as toast at 24%. Also, fruit roll-up ice creams and sun-melted chocolate with strawberries are also some of the common food trends that a lot of people are following at the moment.
But you've got to be careful. This is at a time when the World Obesity Federation expects 51% of the world's population, more than 4 billion people, to be obese or overweight. You've got to be careful of these trends. What would you suggest that people can do, and what are the harmful foods that are circulating at the moment?
So what some people can do, just in view of the obesity and crisis at the moment, is just to ensure that they are maintaining a healthy, balanced diet. So incorporating some of the main food groups, like ensuring that they are eating plenty of fruits and vegetables, going for whole grain carbohydrates and protein, and also being mindful in terms of the type of fats they are introducing in their diet. So we know that with saturated fats, that's the type of fat that can increase our cholesterol levels. And actually, there are different foods that contain saturated fat, but one in particular is butter. And a lot of people are including butter in their diet. So even with some of the food trends I mentioned, butter-based trends being one of the food trends that are currently viral at the moment. And so, again, if a lot of people are consuming high saturated fats like butter, of course, it's not really ideal for overall health. So one of the things that people can do is to go for healthy alternatives. So when it comes to certain recipes that include butter, as an example, they can go for the low-fat alternative. So I know that Flora contains healthier fats, so that's something that people can consider opting for. However, obviously, moderation is key, so ensuring that they are being mindful of quantities. And also with certain recipes, they are a source of extra calories and sugar. So again, just making those small swaps. So again, if a recipe contains sugar, there's no harm in actually not adding the sugar into the recipe. Or if some people want a bit of a sweet taste, they can add fresh fruits into their recipes, like bananas, strawberries, and any sort of berries, just to sweeten the taste of that particular dish.
I suppose it's all about moderation, isn't it? And taking care of yourself.
Yes, moderation is key here. And obviously, when it comes to taking care of yourself, it's very holistic. And, you know, by no means am I here to say don't follow certain food trends. But again, it's just being mindful in terms of the ingredients, making sure that you are having a healthy, balanced diet, having ingredients that are suitable for your overall health and well-being, and also knowing who you're actually following and knowing who you're taking certain information from. So when it comes to social media in particular, a lot of people that who are promoting certain food trends are not qualified in nutrition and not qualified in diet. And so sometimes some of these food trends can be quite restrictive and doesn't provide any nutritional benefits, and actually can be a marketing myth. So marketing plays a huge role in terms of the popularity of certain food trends. So it's important to make sure that you are prioritizing your diet and prioritizing your health and doing what is actually suitable for yourself.
so many of us are seduced by those lovely treats that look on social media so lovely. But what would you say? Why are we putting our health at risk?
Yeah, so there are various reasons why that might be the case. So when it comes to social media in particular, there's actually evidence to suggest that if you see a picture of food, that can actually prompt someone's desire to eat that particular type of food. So again, if you go on social media platforms like TikTok or Instagram and you see someone making a nice mug cake as an example, and it looks delicious, and some people will be more tempted to actually make something similar. And also there's evidence that if your friend or a family member or certain influencers in your social network post frequently about a particular type of food or frequently talk about a particular food trend, that can actually influence someone to actually copy them. So again, there's a lot of marketing and a lot of psychology that's actually involved in actually making some people follow certain food trends. And again, it's just being more aware of that and just knowing, okay, what can I do for myself? What is actually beneficial for my health and for my well-being? And I guess before starting any food trends, it's really important to obviously consult with a healthcare professional where possible to see if it's actually suitable for you.
How harmful can these food trends be, especially if you literally just take, as you said, from social media, someone who hasn't got anywhere near your level of expertise and knowledge?
Yeah, so it can be quite dangerous. So from one perspective, of course, if someone is with a particular food trend and someone is actually encouraging people to restrict certain food groups on their diet, of course that can put them at risk of nutritional deficiencies, and also it can be quite expensive as well. So some of these food trends are quite costly, so of course, especially in the rise of cost of living, you know, it's not really ideal to be spending a lot on certain ingredients. So that's just one aspect in terms of it being quite restrictive and of course being quite expensive. And then on the other hand, there are certain food trends that are very high in saturated fat and also calories and sugar. So again, with the research carried out by Flora, it was shown that butter-based trends is quite popular at 32% of people trying it. And actually what was interesting is that only a third of Brits aren't aware of the health implications of frequently trying food trends that are high in butter. And so, as I mentioned before, butter is high in calorie saturated fats, but it can actually increase your cholesterol levels. So of course, if people are frequently consuming high saturated fat ingredients, that can actually increase the cholesterol level. So it's really important that we are mindful of how often we are consuming such ingredients and how much we are consuming, and just making easy swaps. So instead of going for a fat spread, try to go for a lower fat spread, as an example, to make your recipe more healthier.
That's such an important point. And when you're looking at food trends, what are the top food trends to try with ingredient changes?
Yes, so just based on the research carried out, so one, I know that mug cakes is quite popular at the moment. So again, there's nothing wrong with mug cakes. I'm not here to say stay away from it at all costs, but of course, just be aware of how often you are making those mug cakes. And I guess you can tweak some of the ingredients. So I guess instead of you can reduce the amount of sugar that's being used, maybe consider other ingredients. So instead of chocolate, try to go for maybe like yogurt as an example, or fruits to sweeten the taste. Or you could try making a fruit cake without any added sugar. So of course the fruits in the cake will make the actual cake more sweeter, or make it like a scone, and maybe add in like reduced sugar jam as an example. When it comes to butterballs, that's another viral food trend. And so again, potentially just using a lower amount of butter in these butterballs, or opting for a lower saturated fat spread and making sure that you are consuming smaller amounts. With hash browns as toast, that's another common food trend. And again, hash brown is actually a really good source of vitamins and minerals, but it's important to ensure that you're not adding any additional saturated fat or calories. So instead of having like full fat butter or full fat cheese, trying to go for the lower fat options where possible. And of course, what you're having alongside of the hash browns is important. So of course, if you're having like bacon, sausages or fried eggs, that can increase the saturated fat content. So trying to reduce how much you're having, or try to potentially go for like a boiled egg instead, or a poached egg as opposed to frying it. And then we've got the fruit roll-up ice cream. So at 24%, 24% of the population are trying this trend. And so it's not really good for the teeth because it's quite crunchy, it's quite sticky, and of course it contains a lot of added sugar. But once in a while it's fine to have. But in terms of making healthier swaps, some people can consider trying that frozen yogurt topped with fruits like strawberries and blueberries or banana as a healthier alternative. And then you've got the sun melted chocolate with strawberries. So that sounds very, very tasty. And of course, it's fine to have in moderation, of course. But for a healthy alternative, it might be worth trying strawberries dipped in low fat yogurt as an example.
That still sounds lovely. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Siren FM.
Well, as we are recording these things from the delights of Covent Garden through a whole bizarre set of things, we are delighted to say we are nearly there yet. Are we nearly there yet? It is that classic question that children tend to ask on a regular basis. We've heard it so often. And why is it that travelling with children can be so stressful? Well, we're delighted to welcome parenting expert and mum of two to actually talk about this whole process and give us some useful tips and advice. That's Anita Clear. How are you, Anita?
Good, thank you.
Excellent. It's really great to connect with yourself. But of course, this whole system, I mean, I could also see the situation whereby iPads, tablets, technology, etc., they can all help. But ultimately, how do we cope with children and avoiding those stresses when you're in the car?
Well, of course, children love to play, don't they? They're really not designed to sit still for long periods. They get bored very quickly. So in my experience, the more prepared you are with lots of different activities, the smoother the journey is likely to be.
Indeed. And I mean, again, I'm looking at this itinerary that we have here. 9:49 a.m. set off on road trip. 10:17 a.m. first are we nearly there yet? 10:18 a.m. someone gets in an argument. 10:31 a.m. I need a toilet. These can all add to the stresses that the driver's faced with, which again is not useful for a good start, is it?
Well, yeah, this is data from a welcome break survey, and they ask parents all about their journeys with children. Yeah. And yes, on average, that first "are we there yet" comes after 28 minutes, which is a bit of a challenge, as you say, if you're trying to keep children entertained for a 3-hour journey. The great news is, though, you know, parents are very resourceful. So, you know, parents talk about 80% of parents say they use snacks as a go-to sort of essential item in the car for keeping children entertained, and old-fashioned car games too, things like I Spy. 60% of families told Welcome Break that they play I Spy in the car.
I mean, the only challenge I could see with I Spy, Anita, and this was actually shared with us by a child psychologist, is if the children can't actually see outside the car other than a rim of sky, it's going to get them even more frustrated. So maybe I Spy waits until the children are a little bit older, perhaps, until they actually see what's happening.
They do have to be a bit older for that. You're right. But you can do inside the car I Spy. I used to do that when my kids were little. It had to be something inside the car, so something they could see. That was just another variety.
Hey, Anita, this is clearly a cookie with gas now. I mean, inside the car, it's a whole game changer. Let's talk Welcome Break. I mean, how else are they looking to actually help the family car journey, that huge excursion that you might say?
So Welcome Break have partnered with the educational publishers Twinkle to give out free activity mats at all Welcome Break stations over the summer, just to help keep children entertained. So the activities have been created with Twinkle's team of teachers. So that means they are educational, not just fun. So we don't have to feel guilty. And the mats have got puzzles, games, there's games to play as a whole family. And there's also a QR code, which links through to audiobooks and online online games that can be played on tablets and phones. So loads of different ways that kids can interact with them. And parents need all the help that, you know, that we can get on this, don't we? And they're free, which kind of helps it, you know, reduce the cost of the holiday.
Always good. As you said, Twinkle activity books available at all Welcome Break sites. And you've got a QR code on the sheets that leads to free audio books, games, everything is actually there, which is wonderful. Presumably that can also be found on welcomebreak.co.uk.
So if you go to the website, that'll help you plan your journey and locate their site. But you can find some of the online activities. If you Google Twinkle plus Welcome Break, they'll come up that way.
Sounds perfectly okay. Anita, you might have solved an awful lot of challenges as we head towards the school vacation time, just using technology. And who knows what magical things could work through that. By the way, Anita, what's been your most stressful time with, of course, your two children in terms of going on holiday with them in a car?
I think there's too many to mention. So definitely, I know that I've done some of the sneakier things that we know parents do, like playing the quiet game with them, see who can be the quietest for longest, or a little bit of stretching of the truth and fibbing. Oh, it's only 5 minutes to go, when, no, it might be just a little bit longer than that.
Anita, look, all you have to do is quote from Albert Einstein, who once said that the only persistent illusion in life is that past, present and future are separate entities. So just say it's all an illusion. 5 minutes to some person might be 5 hours or 5 days to somebody else. I'm sure they'll go for it. Or maybe I'm just being naive. I don't know.
I'll try that one.
Anita Clear, parenting expert and mom too, of course. Huge thanks and happy travelling, Anita.
Oh, you too.
Anyway. So they have returned. You didn't even realise they'd gone, had you? No. Well, anyway, you've probably heard a range of interviews that have been done from the Covent Garden base here with Alex Levchuk on, Victoria Simmons bag guarding duty for today, which I've tried to do quite nicely, so that's all good. And whilst I've been doing that, the team has been reduced by one. Yes, for once Richard Fitzwilliams has really only had a cameo role in this particular sequence, because he was sent off to actually show the team around. And Graham, where have you been?
So we've been to the Actors' Church in St Martin's Lane, on St Martin's Lane, which was fascinating because they were setting up for a what was the company called?
Rebel Theatre, I believe. Rebel Theatre? I have it recorded, don't worry, you'll hear it.
And we saw the setting up of a stage for this group of actors who tonight, or I guess tomorrow night, are going to perform Henry I. It sounded good. Rabble.
Yeah, Rabble.
Rabble.
And until Sunday.
And it's on through Sunday. But Richard took us around the outskirts of the inside of the church, where on the wall there are many plaques to very, very famous actors, modern era, as well as in the 18th, 19th century. Which was fascinating because he gave us a lot of history of who they were and why they're there and what they did for the theatre. We then moved on, butt in if you want to, we then moved on to the National Portrait Gallery, which is newly open. We saw probably 8% of something, which was a fantastic period of modern portraits, both photographic and oils, etc. Fantastic. Again, a variety of works of all walks of life, mainly politicians and actors, and maybe models, to name but a few. But absolutely fantastic. And the new wing is extraordinary. It's a brilliant, brilliant building to go to.
Well, thumbs up for the new portrait gallery. Victoria, your thoughts on this little journey? I mean, I've had the journey from Richard a few times, so was it memorable? Or did you feel as though he went on a bit too much?
No, he certainly didn't go on too much, but it was like Kathy and I were saying, it was having a private tour of the whole of London, or Covent Garden, and things that you generally wouldn't see, and things that you wouldn't know about unless you had a guide to tell you.
Well, there we are. And if the listener is actually wanting to know why we haven't actually done an audio version, well, as I said, events, dear boy, events. And I'm sure we can set up something with Richard. Let me see, calculation. I'm estimating 2036 to be the next journey down to London.
No, never. I want to come back to London every week.
Wow. Okay.
But we're not hearing that much. Not compared to the first.
We have a little epilogue now, because basically Graham has left, and indeed Richard, well, Richard was hardly ever here. Anyway, Richard has also gone. Sorry, I'm letting my bitterness show here. But Kathy, what have you been, your highlights been of this first, for you at least, Midweek Drive location report in London?
Oh, well, just being given a personal tour by the Richard Fitzwilliams has been a delight. And Graham Harper, you know, and also here at Terry Simmons. Just the people, the company. And it's truly been a unique experience, because I wouldn't have seen the things I saw today without them and been informed about the things that they know.
Victoria, your first ever IRL in real life encounter with the Midweek Drivettes scenario. Has it lived up to expectations, or is it a case of, nah, I don't know, I'll give it a 3 out of 10?
No, it's definitely been an amazing experience, and meeting people that you only see on
a screen.
On screen, yes.
A computer screen.
Like you and Graham and Kathy, it's actually getting to speak to you for more than the 30 minutes and have an actual conversation about something is really great.
I'm just signing up for the next Zoom link now, actually, dear listeners. But that's what it's all about, really. And your highlights of the day, Victoria?
Definitely agree with Kathy. Being given the tour by Richard was really great.
Did he take you to his club, the In and Out Club?
No, we just heard about it.
Yeah, I think the In and Out Club is something I know Ben Lewis and myself, and indeed Zoe Jameson, have actually encountered that. So he's obviously held back on the In and Out scenario.
Well, I have questions as to our missing regulars. Where's William Sitwell? Where's Liz Brewer?
In the West Country.
Where's... These are the people that I expect
in
to
Sardinia,
see.
Sardinia, Sicily.
Yeah. Well, you know, they got to come out. How many more times can we come to London?
Lord knows. For now, though, from Kathy Manso and Victoria Simmons and Graham Harper and Richard Fitzwilliams, keep on keeping on, and happy trails.
Don't see why I left that day.
There's something strangely wonderful and symmetrical about actually wrapping up a sequence after a journey to Covent Garden yesterday and London and so on, with welcoming back to the programme ace child psychologist Professor Sam Waz, specifically because he's going to talk about the importance of indeed road trips and indeed games for children and so on and so forth, tying in, of course, with a new ultimate guide to car gaming that's been put together by QuickFit. Professor Waz, great to see you again. How are you?
Hi, Alex. Great. Thanks for having me back.
Excellent. Always good. I'm fascinated by this particular aspect because it seems as though some people actually talk whilst they're in a car, and actually as well as listening to music and so on. I mean, today's children are nearly twice as likely to spend car journeys as well doing solo activities than those who were born in the 70s. So again, it's a case of just give them a device and they'll be happy, perhaps.
Well, yes, Alex. I mean, they'll be happy in the short term, maybe. But what really comes through really strongly from this research from QuickFit is, you know, there's a difference between the stuff that we want to do long short term and the stuff that long term is what we look back on and what makes nice, happy memories. And one of the questions that QuickFit was asking people was, you know, from your own car journeys as a child, what is it that you remember most fondly? And what came through really strongly is that 74% of people look back fondly on the stuff that they've done together as a family, whereas only 36% remembered the stuff that they've done on that on their own. So you know, the doing the things together is what makes the nice, happy memories, you know, the nice memories of the car trips that you go on together on holiday. You know, nobody is nostalgic about the time they spent staring on their own, staring at their phone. But also the thing that we really, really want to raise awareness of is there's really good evidence now that for lots of reasons, doing stuff together in the car on the way to holiday or wherever you're going this summer really, really can help your family dynamics. It can help your children. It can help manage moods in a car journey. So there's a really, really good evidence base now that playing games together is the type of thing that's a really good thing to be doing. So we're trying to raise awareness of that with this campaign with QuickFit, but we're also trying to suggest lots of ideas for games to do. So loads and loads of ideas for fun things to do together in the car with your family.
We are social creatures, of course, and what you seem to be alluding to there is that actually the memories that kind of get programmed through our engrams and so on are actually down to those, and that no matter how tempting it might be to just say, yeah, leave them to do the stuff on their own, that's not really what makes the whole thing memorable.
Yeah, definitely. So there's research that, you know, doing things together helps promote feelings of kind of group togetherness. So will help with things like pro-social behavior. You know, if you've been doing things together with your kids, they're more likely to offer to help to do the washing up afterwards. But there's also really nice research, Alex, that, you know, if you tend to have grumpy journeys, you know, in my family, a lot of my childhood memories, honestly, are of massive rows in the car on the way to holiday, because, you know, my parents were grumpy and they were knackered and they've been packing the car and rushing to finish work. And everything seems to kind of degenerate from there. But there's really good evidence, Alex, that when we're grumpy, when we're anxious, when we're angry, we tend to be very focused on internal emotions. And just what's great about car games is it's encouraging everyone to look out the window, to shift the focus of their awareness to from, you know, stuff that's bothering them to stuff that's happening outside us. And that's a really evidence-based way of helping to manage negative moods. So, you know, if you want to steer off arguments or steer off tantrums, just getting people to shift their focus to things outside, watching stuff as it flashes by down the motorway, that type of thing is a really kind of proven evidence-based way to keep everyone in a good mood.
We had some interesting list of feedback from a recent piece we did with you when I Spy cropped up as a way of actually entertaining children and various other bits and pieces. And of course, the line was sometimes if they're very small children, it's a bit cruel because they can't see anything other than just a slight slip of the sky maybe in the background and they don't see anything. The solution that one listener came up with was, what about I Spy in the car? What things can they actually see in the car? Is that a possible workaround? Yeah.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, that's a nice thing to do. Yeah. And there are lots of other games as well that that we can be playing, kind of whether we can see out of the car or not. So lots of different things, like kind of people are nostalgic for things like truck spot, which are very easy to see, you know, a lorry when that's going past. So that's all about, you know, everyone picking their own car company of truck people, whether it's a particular supermarket. You know, I get points for Tesco trucks, someone else gets points for Sainsbury's trucks, those types of
other things. Supermarkets are available, obviously, but we just
other supermarkets are available, and if you're a canny parent, then you're going to give yourself an advantage because you know what's close to where you're driving. Other things like pubs find cricket's a lovely thing. And then with older kids, there are loads and loads of really lovely ideas for games. You know, alphabet game, which you can definitely play with a group of adults. You know, you can keep that going where, you know, you pick a thing and then everybody has to come up with an example of that thing starting with the different letters of the alphabet. Animal trail is a lovely one where you have to have an animal that links into the previous one, either, you know, the first letter of it starts with the last letter of the previous animal, things you can go to for that, you know, 100 questions where you have to, you know, someone's got something in mind. So loads and loads of possible things to do. It does vary a lot on the physical kind of attributes of the car, you know, how much you can see out the window, how old the kids are, but kind of really, really worth putting time into thinking about this. This is what we really want to raise awareness of with this Quick Fit campaign. You know, put time into thinking about it. It's not just a question of it will make the car journey go better, but potentially it will affect how the holiday afterwards goes as well.
And of course, listening to music is always an option if you sing along with that music. I mean, what's not to love about singing along to a Victoria Simmons track, which we're about to hear? So, you know, it's amazing, you know, that sort of things there. So great stuff.
Lovely. And the other thing with that is just it's very entertaining for the other people who are driving past you on a motorway. Create a little bit of thing. You get nice. It's a lovely view of people kind of singing wildly out of their window. And it's a really, really nice thing to be doing as well.
Some people might be listening to this actually as they're driving. After all, the program's called the Midweek Drive, so there you go. So on that basis, where would you recommend they should actually go to, assuming it's safe and legal to do so, to find out more details about this Quick Save Ultimate Guide to Car
Exactly.
Games?
I would recommend waiting till you're home, but then when you're home, loads more information, ideas for games, that type of thing, all on the Quick Fit website. So just Google Quick Fit and it will come up.
Professor Samwars, always a delight sharing some thoughts with your good self. Are you all geared up for your own journeys with your young children?
Sadly not. Honestly, Alex, I'm slightly dreading them because they're too young for all these games.
Listen,
in a few years' time, I'll be happy because when we get them on pub sign cricket, that type of thing, that's what I'm really looking forward to.
I just think it's very impressive that we're wearing the traditional academic open-necked white shirts today, just for the benefit of the listener, basically. I'm in Lincoln, you're obviously East London. It just keeps that balance going, really. So, you know, we keep that unity going.
Perfect. Yeah, it's a real pleasure talking to you, Alex.
Professor Samwars, we salute you. Take care now.
Great, thanks.